This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black, and we're going space exploring. We're using Hubble, that magical robot launched by NASA many years ago. Bob wrote the profile of Hubble, the biography of Hubble, Universe in a Mirror. We have great expectation for Hubble to be boosted, augmented soon enough by a mission from Earth. But right now, it's the Hubble looking at DART, the mission that is celebrated as a success recently for NASA for APL. And we're looking at the impact results of hitting Dimorphos with an object. Bob, what is the double tail? Is this a new revelation? Good evening again.
Good evening. Yes, it is. So DART impacted Dimorphos, which is about 525-foot-wide asteroid that orbits another asteroid that's a half mile wide, impacted it and produced a gigantic ejecta cloud, much bigger than they expected. And so what's happened is in the subsequent weeks since that impact last month, telescopes worldwide and in orbit have been looking periodically at Dimorphos to see how that ejecta cloud evolves over time, trying to understand what happened and how much Dimorphos' orbit has changed, how much the orbit of the solar orbit of both have changed. And so Hubble's taken about 18 images over the past 3 weeks. The most recent image taken on October 11th revealed something that was not expected. They did expect, by the way, that the ejecta cloud would expand and then fade in brightness over time, and that is what it has done. It also produced a tail. The solar wind hitting the dust from the ejecta, from the impact, blows it away from the sun, just like a comet's tail is blown away from the sun. But what they didn't expect is what they now see in this Hubble image is a double tail of that material being blown away. Now, you see double tails in comets. Usually the double tails are produced by different materials produced off the comet. They did not really expect this from Dimorphos, and they're going to have to do more analysis and study to figure it out. This is cool stuff. Hubble just continues to prove its wonder in space, being able to do this good stuff. But the punchline of the whole DART Dimorphos story won't occur until that European probe Hera arrives at Dimorphos in 26 to perform several years of very close observations to see what actually happened after that impact. And thank God SpaceX is launching it, because it'll launch on time and it won't be delayed for 4 or 5 years because of launch windows, John.
Detail, Bob. A rubble pile. That's what we've called asteroids in the past. A rubble pile. Loose collection held together by the whims of gravity. However, hitting it with an object the way they did, and there's suggestion there's some solid parts of the rubble pile. Is this tail created because we've loosed the interior? Is it spewing out because gravity is failing it? I'm trying to reason why there would suddenly be not only a single tail, but a double tail from hitting it in one small place.
You have asked the question that scientists are presently asking. This is one of the many questions asked. No one has an answer to this, John. Not all asteroids are rubble piles, and we don't even know the range of rubble pileness. Some might be partly rubble pile, some might be more rubble pile. The images of Dimorphos as DART got closer suggested that it was a rubble pile, but maybe not as rubbly as Bennu and what was the other one? Ryugu. And so we don't know. And we're going to have, that's why the Hera mission is going to be really fascinating, because we'll get a much closer look and we'll see what remains and has changed on Dimorphos. And we'll begin to get a better idea. And so I can't answer the question, but you're asking the same question scientists are asking.
We go from Hubble, the marvel of robot, to the other marvelous robot. This is the James Webb Telescope with a really cool image. What am I looking at, Bob?
Okay, well, when Hubble was first fixed back in 93, one of the first great images it took was of a nebula that the NASA PR department dubbed the Pillars of Creation. And it showed, you know, nebula, dust nebula that was being eaten actually by starlight and being eliminated slowly by the heat of starlight that was hitting it. Quite spectacular, well-known image. Well, so they've now aimed Webb at it, same object, to take an infrared image. Must emphasize again that the Hubble image is optical, and therefore they mimic and try to mimic what our eye will see, and it's in the optical wavelength, so that's not an unreasonable approximation. But web is infrared entirely, so there is no natural colors. Everything here is false color, and they try to assign false colors to correspond somewhat with the Hubble image. And I put both up on Behind the Black so you can compare them. It's a really fascinating thing to compare the two, because they show different things. Web shows can look through the dust more easily in the infrared and sees things that are not visible in the Hubble image, such as stars forming within the dust that we can't see in Hubble, plus stars in the background that can't be seen because of the dust in the Hubble image. And it just gives you another aspect of why an infrared, you need to look at the full electromagnetic spectrum to really understand what's going on in the heavens, John. And Webb is giving us another look at that.
And Bob, are we going to the Greek Star catalog now? I think so.
Yes.
This is an amazing discovery, a medieval parchment, which is a star catalog. How does it match up, Bob?
Yeah, it's like going from Webb, the cutting edge of astronomy, to the origins of modern astronomy back in the days of the Greek. Many Parapus rolls in the old days, before they had paper, the medieval scholars would reuse them. They'd scrape off the old stuff and put on new stuff. Well, new multispectral technology, like Webb, has made it possible to read what was on the documents beforehand, on the scrolls beforehand. And one of those in a monastery in the Sinai revealed the original catalog of stars by Hipparchus, who is thought to be the founder of modern astronomy. He took very careful calculations of where stars are, and he put a catalog together. But for centuries, they've been searching to find that catalog. We knew it existed, but we didn't have any examples of it. And here they found, hidden on this scroll, part of Hipparchus's original catalog, stellar catalog. And it shows he did a very precise work. He was the first to start to do actual math calculations, precision when it comes to astronomy, compared to just simply observations in the past, John.
Bob, there's an image of the Jupiter cloud tops on your site, but it's something I've never seen. Why is it looking so strange?
This is an oblique, a pseudo-oblique view of Jupiter's cloud tops. It was taken by Juno in 2018, but a citizen scientist, Thomas Tomopoulos, he took it and he did some processing. He made a fake topography out of these clouds, where white is higher and black is lower on the grayscale. This is not real topography, but what it does is it actually lets you look sideways across the clouds and see clouds above and below as they approximately are. And that makes it possible to get a better physical understanding of the clouds of Jupiter. And it's a very cool image, and it's a very cool trick for viewing the clouds over the future, John. I just liked it very much for that reason.
Hey, Bob, Jupiter's an alien planet. Bob Zimmerman keeps the website Behind the Black. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.